Hello. Ah, now that I've got your attention, I'd like a quick word about how Cambridge 105 Radio is funded. Our job is to give a voice to those groups who may not otherwise be heard. That may be our support for local music or the charity of the month. You're wanting to know how you can help, aren't you? Well, you can support our advertisers. And when you use their services, say you heard about them on Cambridge 105 Radio. And you can make a donation. It all goes towards our upkeep. We're eco-friendly, but we do have a bit of an electricity bill. Visit cambridge105.co.uk and click on the donate button. And thank you for listening.
It is 10:44 and my guests are here, Sarah Tucker and Katie Holmes from CKLG Accountants. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Nice to have you here. And you're talking about inheritance tax.
Yes, we are.
It's an important tax. I guess it affects lots of people. But first of all, what is it?
It's actually a very expensive tax, funnily enough. It is a tax on wealth. When somebody dies, everything they own, the value of everything they own, gets totted up. And you're allowed to have, at the moment, £325,000 worth of assets before inheritance tax kicks in. And pretty much the excess then gets chargeable to tax, inheritance tax at 40%. Now, a couple of years ago, the Chancellor introduced a residence nil rate band, which means if you have a home and you transfer it to a direct descendant, that means a child, to include a stepchild or a foster child, funnily enough, or a grandchild, then you can have another 100,000. Now, that 100,000 is increasing. The plan is to increase it to 175,000 by 2020. And of course, that ticks off the Chancellor's pledge to raise the inheritance tax threshold to £1 million. Of course, that was, it wasn't Philip Hammond, that was then George Osborne. And of course, that was before they then won the election in 2015. But it's desperately complicated, that residence nil rate band. And there's been an awful lot of criticism sort of amongst professional bodies as to how it works. Your will has to say the right thing to be able to claim it. And it does discriminate against those individuals that don't have children. So is it a fair tax? It's been operating for a long time, inheritance tax. Funnily enough, in January, Philip Hammond actually wrote to the Office of Tax Simplification asking for a review of how it operates. So we may see some changes. We've got not a budget, a spring statement tomorrow. Budgets are now happening once a year, and that'll be in the autumn. So we might see a little bit of... we're talking about change probably tomorrow, but we have got this. Now he's put it out there that it's going to be reviewed. So yeah, we're expecting to see changes.
So let's just unpick it a little bit. So this would be a tax that I would have to pay. Say my parent died and left me property, valuables, jewellery, everything absolutely. That he or she left me. I would get the first, was it 300?
That's absolutely right, 325,000. But let's just backtrack a little bit there. It will be your parents' estate that will effectively pay it, but of course, by default, if you're the sole beneficiary of what your parents owned at their death, then obviously the net amount of their estate after the inheritance tax has been paid will then come out to you, so effectively you will suffer it.
And I know a lot of people feel quite angry about it because they think, you know, well, my mum left this to me, and other people say, well, it's something that you're getting that you wouldn't have. It has become a bit of a political football, hasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And if you think about it, you know, property prices have gone up dramatically over certainly the last 10 years or so. And we are now seeing people paying inheritance tax that probably shouldn't be. Now, if the nil rate band, that 325,000, had gone up with inflation, it would be nearer to 400,000 now. Each spouse is entitled to it. So you've got 325,000 times two. Add on this residence nil rate band. That is your tax-free amount. So at the moment, it is 325 plus 325 plus 200,000 then for a married couple.
So that's quite a lot. So you'd have to be left a lot before you were affected.
But you've got to make sure you've got all your ducks in a row, though. You know, you've got to make sure that you are leaving your house to a direct descendant to be able to get that residence nil rate band. So the starting point we always look at is 650 for a married couple to be able to leave effectively to the next generation. And that very much assumes that then the first to die passes all of their wealth onto the surviving spouse, and on the second death it then passes down the family line. And of course another little sort of sting in the tail is if anybody has given away any assets over the previous 7 years before death, they actually come into account for inheritance tax purposes as well, if when they were given they exceed the what we call the exempt amounts that people can give away during their lifetime.
So I suppose what it goes back to a lot of the time is getting your will right, really.
Absolutely.
Of course, when people die unexpectedly, very young, those things aren't always in place. Or elderly people think, well, I'll get round to it at some point.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But it's not all bad news, even if, you know, your will is quite not what you want it to be, because we work with our clients to make sure during their lifetime they're making use of the inheritance tax reliefs and exemptions that are available. And then obviously as part of that, we make sure their will stands up as well. Our tax laws are constantly changing, so it's something we have to keep monitoring with our clients. And, you know, if it's not effective when somebody has passed away, we also work with the beneficiaries as well, because a will can be changed within 2 years of somebody passing away to make sure somebody's wishes, you know, are reflected, or perhaps if there might be some tax savings to be made.
And there's no choice about this. You have to pay this. I mean, this comes out of the estate. It's not an option.
Pretty much you can manage it during your lifetime, but it is payable. Yeah, fundamentally it's
payable. You can't
payable.
Refuse to pay
you
it.
You can't, and it's payable within 6 months.
There's accountants laughing. No.
If only. Crikey. Cool. If we had an answer to that one.
Yeah.
And you're expecting perhaps some changes in the near future?
There will be some changes, because if you know, that residence new rate band hasn't changed for years, and the exempt amounts that you can give away during your lifetime, you can at the moment, every person can give away £3,000. Now that is not much in today's standard of living, and again, if that had increased with the cost of living, that'd be nearer to 10,000-11,000. So I think, you know, HMRC have to get with it, are they going to get with it? Because inheritance, the take from inheritance tax has increased substantially over the last probably 10 years or so, since house prices have gone up, since the stock market has, yes, it's volatile, but fundamentally it has risen a lot over the last 10 years or so.
So this is a revenue earner for the government?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
And I know you can't talk about individual cases, but have you seen cases in your line of work where this has been problematic, dealing with inheritance tax?
I'm going to say no to that, because we manage it.
We do manage it. I think one of the things is that it's such an emotive tax, because quite often it is the family home. Like as Sarah was just saying, with the increases in property prices, you're having to sell the family home in order to pay the tax. And I think that's what makes it very emotive for a lot of people. But as Sarah said, we do try to just work with our clients throughout their lifetimes. It's something that has to be monitored throughout, sort of as you're getting older. What are your needs? What are you able to give away? Because one of the fundamental things with inheritance tax planning is giving away assets during your lifetime, but having in mind what you still need to retain to live the life that you want to live. So it is just about managing that on a client-by-client basis to ensure that it is minimised, but whilst keeping the quality of life for the person who's doing the planning.
And we're talking mainly about property here, but I'm guessing, you know, if you're left some jewels, you know, diamonds, and it applies to those as well.
It certainly does. You have to look at everything that an individual owns on their death. And contrary to popular belief, that includes ISAs, the tax-free wrapper that provides you with income tax breaks and capital gains tax breaks while you're alive. But the value that you have in ISAs is chargeable to inheritance tax when you die.
It's everything the person owns then, savings accounts,
pretty much.
Everything.
Yeah, yeah. Right. It's a snapshot at the date of death as to everything that they own. Bank accounts, stocks and shares, investments, personal assets, paintings, furniture, property. And bearing in mind, you can take some liabilities off that. So if you've got a mortgage on the house and it's just the net worth of the house that gets brought into account, but it's everything you own at the date of death.
So if somebody's listening to this and this is something that they're about to experience, or that they suspect they're about to experience, what would you recommend they do?
Well, I think, first of all, they need to probably pull out their will and have a look at it. And does it reflect what they want to happen on their death? A lot of people will do it, know that it's done, and have completely forgotten when they did it. And there's been a lot of change in circumstances. You know, it's a difficult conversation to have with clients, and a sensitive one. But it is important if we can plan today while people While our clients are alive, it makes our life sort of much easier in trying to manage it later on. Another thing that Katie said, just picking up on what Katie said, is that it is the net estate after debts, effectively. There are also a handful of reliefs that can exempt some assets from inheritance tax, like business property relief. So, for example, if somebody owns shares in an unquoted company, underlined, any holding, providing they've owned those for a couple of years and it's a trading company, the value of those are exempt from inheritance tax. And also farmland. Now, farmland is a bit of a sort of hot potato at the moment because there's a lot of people that have invested in farmland to be able to get inheritance tax reliefs that don't really get that much muck under their fingernails. So that would be one area that where I would expect to see some changes. It's really... not without wanting to sound political, it is a relief that is there for those that really get their hands dirty.
It does sound very complicated, but that's what you're there for, isn't it? You're there to navigate this minefield and hold people's hands.
We try.
You try. I'm sure you do. So if people want more information about inheritance tax or your line of work altogether, where should they go?
Well, they can visit our website, www.cklg.co.uk, or they can give us a buzz. Our phone number is 01223 810 100, and Katie and I are always happy to talk and have a no obligation chat with anybody that's concerned.
Lovely. Well, lovely to talk to you today, Sarah and Katie. Thank you very much, and we'll be seeing you again probably in a month's time or
so. Absolutely.
Okay.